Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 1st. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jack Flaherty went 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 14 strikeouts. He didn't get the win because life is dumb, but 24 whiffs and a 46% CSW for a golden goal is beautiful. And why did this happen? Well, if you've followed me with Jack Flaherty, you've known that I've said his slider is really good, his curveball's been really good, but the problem is his four-seamer. That thing gets crushed inside the zone. However, this was a different day. 1 to 2 ticks harder on that four-seamer. He did not make as many mistakes on it, and it went 10 for 37 whiffs with a 51% CSW. So that means the Dobermans guarding the success of Jack Flaherty were satiated by the pork chops, and that left the slider and the curveball to do wonderful things. That's the analogy I'm going to go with. Look, this was 95 on the four-seamer instead of 93 or so for Flaherty, 97.8 max. He had his mother in the crowd. This was a revenge game against the Cardinals. All of that stuff, it's great, and it's really nice to see the ceiling, at least for Flaherty, right? We can see what it looks like if his fastball actually is good. I don't think it's going to consistently be good. However, the slider and curve are great, and having that opportunity to succeed with that four-seamer is everything. So if you can get Flaherty, just, yeah, pick him up. He was at 31% rostered. And if you listen to the Fireside Chat with me and Paul Spohr, which we do now weekly on Tuesdays, it comes out on Wednesday mornings, you'll have heard him say, look, I like Jack Flaherty this week. I think he called him his star of the week. And yeah, oh man, did he knock that one out of the park. Luis Castillo against Atlanta ace is going to ace. Lovely. It's just lovely. Cooper Criswell against the Giants. He has a two-step, and he was considered as a decent option here on my SP Fab forecast. If you know that episode, or if you know that podcast, that means you have PL Pro. And thank you so much for doing that. Yes, there is a promo code for PL Pro every day in the streamer article. Yes, if you actually read the notes, you will find a PL Pro promo code. I'm just saying right now, and you would have heard me talk about Cooper Criswell. That was nice. He in this first one got the win against the Giants. Obviously, I'm not saying that I should get a pat on the back or anything like this. Not whatsoever. I didn't hit, for example, Simeon Woods Richardson's stream yesterday. Only 3.2 innings. That was disappointing. We can move on from Simeon Woods Richardson. But Criswell here in a good situation for the Red Sox, as yeah, they still have Pivetta on the mend, and they now have Whitlock on the mend, and so on and so forth. So you might want to consider him one more time for another decent matchup over the weekend, but don't really expect this to stick around with his sinker called strike rate. You have Yu Darvish against the Reds. That's a lovely win. They're coming back from the injured list. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. This was more sinker slider Darvish, which is fine, and it was pretty much him just kind of getting into the groove again, which is nice. He was out with a neck injuries, more of neck stiffness, neck soreness. So I expect to see a different version of this against the Cubs, and I think that's fine with Bellinger and Suzuki out. Brandon Hughes went instead of Jordan Montgomery because of bees. That's right. I'm not kidding. Bryce Jarvis went 3 innings as well. Jordan Montgomery was pushed to today instead, so make sure that he's in your lineup. If you want to do that, I have him as a questionable start because it's the Dodgers, and Jordan Montgomery is the bear and whatever. So yeah, you don't really need to do anything here. You want more B jokes? I'm not going to do it. Okay. I only do A jokes. Top of the line. Okay. There it is. John Gray against the Nationals. Got the win, 8 innings. Wow, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Okay, all right, fine. 10 whiffs, 33%. CSW, this is nice, and also not really that sustainable, so let's not go against the Royals, okay? John Gray, awesome. Glad you did that. Let's move on. Kyle Gibson was PL Bot's stream of the day, and of course he has all the money if you know the what we do on the Pitcher List stream in the morning on Playback. And if you're not there, by the way, it's like the best community. You got to be here. It is so much fun. We just talk baseball and everything for 2 hours. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time every weekday morning. Kyle Gibson came through in a massive way against the Tigers. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. He just happened to go opposite Flaherty, so no win here either. 15 whiffs, 31% CSW. It was a sweeper that was killing it. And then sinker's doing all right, and that's it. You don't know what he's going to do on a given day. You really don't. He is, I guess, the cherry bomb. He is the epitome of Jeremy Hellickson from the past, who I used to call the devil because he would charm you so much and then burn your village down in the next start. Be careful with Kyle Gibson. Cole Reagans, you might have heard of him, got the win against the Jays. It was interesting because if you remember last time, we wanted the redemption start after the Orioles game was just so horrific, and we had then the muddy game that was just so bad and stupid. So this one, he went 6.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, and then he walked 2 in a row, so it was really 3 walks, which means the whip is above 1 now. No! And what's so annoying to me, I mean, I don't know what this is. I gotta ask him, being like, I gotta be frank, man, I would say 50% of your walks are in your final frame. And is there something to that? Is there actually something about it? Is it in your head? Is it fatigue? Are you, I mean, he didn't really throw fastballs in those last two and you're still throwing 98. Like, what is that thought process? Are you feeling like you need to do something more? I got to ask him about that because this is becoming more of a thing that I was able to hand wave before, but like, come on. His slider was better. He got some good strikeouts on that one. I mean, he was blown by 99 at times as well. Everything is great. Cole Reagans, pew, pew, pew. You're going to see the DTD, day-to-day tag on him. Why? Because apparently he had a calf cramp that removed him from this. I think you threw 100 pitches after walking your first batter of the seventh inning, and you still were in there and walked Kiner Falefa on 5 pitches. I think that might have been more the reason why he got pulled, but maybe he had the calf cramp and that really ruined him there, and that's why he walked those last two batters. I don't know. Cole Reagans is dope and makes us feel dope. And those of you who felt like he was just, oh no, he's not very good, no, come on. Don't do that game. I mean, it's like 9 strikeouts like every time. He's so good. Okay. Spencer Turnbull against the Angels. He's still in the rotation as of right now. I haven't heard anything that says he's out. 5.1 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. And yeah, okay, fine. I've heard things saying that he's likely out, but we haven't seen the thing that says he's now in the bullpen yet. I'm waiting for a pass to say like, yeah, no Spencer Turnbull, guys. Haha. Don't remove this, Philly. Why would you do that? This is a guy in his groove. Just don't do it. Cool. Hold on to Spencer Turnbull until there's some actual fully confirmation, official moves, all that stuff. Okay. Sean Manaea against the Cubs. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. Look, he made it 1 earned run. He did an actual Blake Snell blueprint. It's kind of funny. I quizzed the chat today. We looked up Alec Manoah's 12 strikeout game. And yes, sometimes you're going to get some things like this. And you're going to get some little extra bonus content inside of this podcast. It was kind of funny to me is I just showed the pitch results, not the strike zone plot. It was Alec Manoah going 12 strikeouts, 6 innings, yes. But it was sliders for 13 whiffs and then sinkers for 13 called strikes. So I said, oh man, that reminds me of another pitcher, guys. We've seen this kind of approach on other pitchers as one guy in particular who has popularized it. And he's known as someone who's very volatile and that we don't trust. And what is it that I'm seeing here? And some people said neckbeard? Is it Blake Snell blueprint? And anyone that's confused, no, those are things about strike zone plots and locations that I wouldn't know from granular pitch data, right? I would have to see the plot. The correct answer was Brady Singer, who just gets called strikes and a sinkers and then hopes to get enough whiffs on the slider. That's not good for Alec Manoa. I also think that the slider got very fortunate results inside the zone, especially to right-handers. Yes, his home run allowed was a front door slider to a right-hander, which is not a good pitch to throw. But he had so many in the upper half of the zone where that all worked. And the ones that were actually competitive out of the zone, only one of those worked against right-handers. While against lefties, I have to admit, Manoa did really well with that slider to left-handers. That has been a flaw for him, where he has not been able to neutralize left-handers effectively. The four-seamer not doing enough, and the slider not being that big whiff pitch down and under the nitro zone. And he did that in the minor league game. So that's cool. But the sinkers are backdoor for called strike. Nah, that's not going to work. He had four of them that were actually on the inner third to righties, and those all did well, as they should. But the called strike stuff, I just think, is an anomaly. I'm not chasing the whole Alec Manoa thing. He is up to 94, though. It's not 92 and change. Still, it just, I don't know if we're quite back yet. Not a terrible spec ad for Alec Manoa, because we know that he can be very good. That start to me isn't just a huge, huge thing. So anyway, for Sean Manaea, hi. Blake Snell blueprint with his four-seamers up and changeups down. They had 13 whiffs combined, which is really cool. And he had four walks and three Ks. It's kind of odd. I would imagine that the other pitches would sort themselves out if he has that changeup down and that fastball up. And he gets the Rays next. The Rays are really bad right now. So yeah, I think I'm in for that start for Sean Manaea. We have other guys to talk about from yesterday's games. We have the question of the day that I'm trying to remember as much as possible from the playback.tv/pitcherlist chat. As I do these podcasts live in front of the chat on Playback, which is lots of fun. You should be here. And of course, tomorrow's starting pitcher rankings. We're going to talk about all of that after this break.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Javier Assad against the Mets, 5 innings, 1 run. He is a Vargas rule. He had 1 strikeout and it lives on. We just keep going. You follow the rule. Landon Knack against the Diamondbacks was not delayed to the next day like Jordan Montgomery was. And he did okay. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He had a 6% swing strike rate and a poor CSW. No. It's not it. It's not the kind of guy that I really want to go for. And if you remember last time when I led with him, Knack, a masterpiece. Pretty much saying like, yeah, this isn't the thing I really want to chase for Landon Knack. I don't think it's going to be around for too much longer. As I mentioned before, Simeon Woods Richardson with 3.2 innings of just 1 run, 9 base runners. It was all down to 92 miles per hour. So we are not going to do that against the Mariners. Dean Kramer got a win against the Yankees. Look, 7 innings, 2 runs. Huge props for that. It was 8 base runners with 4 walks and 4 strikeouts. 7 whiffs, 20% CSW. He kind of just did whatever he could to try and find strikes. And props to him for doing that. He had better splitters this time around. Did not get whiffs on the four-seamer and cutter. He had 17 combined in the previous one. I think it was like 1 combined in this one. Yeah, that just showcased the inconsistencies here. But he did well in both, right? So, hey, there's more ways for him to succeed. I don't know. The way I see it is that Kramer's in this rotation. Cole Irvin is not. Albert Suarez is not. Right? I think that pretty much establishes that. I don't want to go for Kramer unless it's a very weak offense. Jose Berríos against the Royals, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. It's kind of funny how both him and Reagans, after the Muddy game, pretty much had their previous start just a little bit longer, which is pretty cool. And I think we're starting to see the signs of degradation with Berríos. He allowed so much hard contact here. His curveball is still decently well located, but I just feel watching this with Berríos that, yeah, this is starting to get worse. And the Phillies are next. That might be a sit. Just want to throw that out there. If you want to be conservative, it's not the worst time to do it. Freddy Peralta got ejected. 5.1 innings and 200 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Because he lost his command. He was losing his command for a moment on a 3-0 pitch and hit a guy, Jose Siri, who hit a home run and he did not flaunt it or anything. And they just instantly ejected him. Which is so silly. That's so dumb. It was great where his slider was all over the zone, which is cool. But for the most part, Peralta's four-seamer command for the second straight start, not good. This was very much a general disarray of old. Really, the old Professor Chaos that I used to call him back in the day. Not really a big fan of that for Peralta. However, the fact that he had his slider working and still give you 7 strikeouts, it was the Rays. Keep that in mind. I'm glad that we still got value out of this, even though he was removed from 66 at 66 pitches. You're still going to keep going with Peralta. I just want to see that fastball look better next time to make my worries go away. Mackenzie Gore, my gosh, 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts against the Rangers. What? Oh, man. I'm so upset because it's like the schedule is so rough that if it was an okay schedule, I would have Mackenzie Gore on more teams. And the game of probabilities is always what's so difficult, I think, about April, is there are times where I like the skill sets of guys a lot, but the matchups just don't make it worthwhile for you to hold on to them and pass on everything else that you could be getting. Like, for example, if Mackenzie Gore had, if I went after Mackenzie Gore, maybe I don't have Tanner Houck on my teams, right? Or Renel Blanco. Actually, Renel Blanco turned me down and there you go. Stuff like that, right? But Mackenzie Gore is killing it right now. Curveball was really good. Sliders was fine. And the four-seamer still missing bats. 18 whiffs here. 7 strikeouts against the Rangers. Oh, man. Mackenzie Gore at 97. He is good. And I will not forget, I wrote for Lindy's Magazine this year. If you guys don't know that, I wrote their top 190 starting pitchers. And, of course, their opening article for the Lindy's Magazine, the fantasy baseball one. A huge honor. Huge thanks to Scott Pianowski for making that happen for me. And I submitted my top 90 and did not include Mackenzie Gore. And when I submitted it and wrote it all, they said, hey, what about Mackenzie Gore and Alek Manoah? And I said, well, Alek Manoah, you don't want to take your chance on him, whatever. But Mackenzie Gore, I said, look, he pitches for the Nationals, not a good win chance. And his approach is to not throw up stairs. And I just don't think it's too much to expect here in October for Mackenzie Gore to all of a sudden fix that and be much better next year. Well, the editor was right. But I wish she could have told me that it was because Mackenzie Gore is throwing 97 miles per hour now instead of 95. And also, Sean Doolittle works there, and I assume that's helping him get his four-seamer upstairs. Michael Soroka against the Twins, 4.1 innings of 200 runs. Yeah, we do not do that. Alex Wood against the Pirates, 4 innings, 200 runs. Honestly, it was 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks. First time in my life I ever wanted a pitcher to throw 2 more earned runs. That's all. Ryan Felter against Miami. This was a start that some really went into because it was Miami and then Pirates for the two-step. I think the Pirates one is more of a trap play for Ryan Felter, but both of them are away from Colorado, and it's the Marlins. This should be all right. 8 innings, 3 earned runs. Yeah, I think that's still fine. 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. So 3 strikeouts, and what? This is what you are hoping for from Felter. So I guess you got ratios here. You didn't even get a win, and you only got 3 strikeouts. Like, in 6 whiffs and 21% CSW, I'm sure to go 8 innings. Newsflash, everybody. You generally are not going to see the highest CSWs from pitchers who go long into games. And you say, Nick, what are you talking about? CSW is a good thing. That means you're throwing strikes, and you are, you're not getting hurt. You're not allowing hits on that. You're not allowing walks. Yes. However, the higher, the better correlation is strike rate, not CSW. So to go long into games, you have to be efficient. And to be efficient means you need to get balls in play or just throw zero balls at all. That's generally how it works. That's why, like, Sandy Alcantara and Zach Wheeler are not like CSW darlings, because they allow a lot of balls in play, but it's beneficial ones because their stuff is so hard to hit and they get outs. Think about that a lot and understand, like, Logan Webb is able to go deep into games because he doesn't get as many whiffs, and those whiffs turn into outs. So it's kind of why out percentage is a pretty fun stat. And it's why I strike minus ICR rate. I think striker is the best representation, I think. I love CSW. Don't get me wrong, guys. Like, trust me, the simplicity of it and me coming up with that, I'm like, yeah, this is better than just only doing whiffs and we're neglecting called strikes. But I think striker ultimately is the one that, for example, it actually correlates better to strikeout rate than CSW, right? I think that's right. It beat CSW in a couple things, and we're like, oh boy. Go check the Introducing Strike Minus ICR Rate article from Kyle Bland. That is going to outline all of that. Innately, it just makes all the sense. So go look that up. Okay. It's just a fun thing to note about it. Now, you have 6 innings and 34% CSW from Tyler Anderson, but you need 92 pitches, right? You can go win that. 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks against the Phillies. 15 whiffs, 34% CSW, as I mentioned. 56% CSW and 9 whiffs on that changeup, which is pretty dang cool. And I'll take this all day from Tyler Anderson. He's been a pretty good deep league guy with a changeup feel coming back this year, which is pretty nice. I don't know how long I'm going to trust that, but it's cool. Mitch Keller's a cherry bomb, and what do you know, even against Oakland, he allowed 300 runs in 5 innings with 7 base runners, so 140 whip in a, 5.40 ERA? 7 Ks, though, but yeah, he's a cherry bomb. Okay, Reynaldo Lopez is a bit disappointing. While Mitch Keller we expect against Oakland, we don't really, for Reynaldo Lopez against the Mariners, 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, so even a worse whip with 7 Ks, 14 whiffs, though, 39% CSW. He got bamboozled a little bit here, he just didn't go his way. He's getting the Red Sox next. You should be totally fine with that with Reynaldo Lopez. Nick Martinez, it's mind-boggling to me. 13% changeups and only 2 out of 37 whiffs on the other secondaries. Why? It's your best pitch. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks against the Padres. I don't get it. Tyler Alexander, otherwise known as T-Lex, against the Brewers, 4 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. We don't really want to go after this. Yeah. That's it. You need some luck, and he didn't get it. Nestor Cortez against the Orioles, 6 innings of 400 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I'm accepting that the Orioles are better against lefties than righties, and Cortez, unfortunately, you didn't locate well here. Four-seamers were just in the zone, but just all over the zone, as opposed to just upstairs, and the cutter was only a 15% CSW. He gets the Tigers next. That's fine. We move on. Speaking of the Tigers, you have Matt Manning. Also, this is a doubleheader, of course, against the Cardinals. 4.2 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. 15 whiffs, 34% CSW with a 95 mile per hour fastball, though. He just didn't quite locate it well. And I think that Matt Manning, I always go back to this, Matt Manning does look a lot like Zach Wheeler if Matt Manning can locate that four-seamer. He's not right now. He's not. But the slider is solid. So if Matt Manning can be 95 and locate that four-seamer upstairs, then you've got yourself the guy that I was envisioning in the spring. Logan Webb at Boston, 3.2 innings of 400 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks, 27% CSW, and 4 whiffs. 7 out of 9 hits coming off of his changeup. He just kind of left it too high this time. That's pretty much it. There were too many over the zone. It's not typical Logan Webb. We move on. Steven Matz, no thank you, even against the Tigers. Sorry, buddy, not very good. 400 runs, 3.1 innings. Sixto Sanchez pitched against Rocky Road, and 4 innings of 500 runs. 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And okay, we move on. Under 30% fastballs, by the way, for Sixto in 68 pitches. I don't really think this is meant to be. Hunter Brown against the Guardians, 5.1 innings of 600 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. His four-seamer actually was located well, but his secondaries were not. So we let him live on the wire until everything clicks. And Carlos Carrasco on the other side, 4 innings of 800 runs. Oh boy. Rough game here overall against the Guardians and Astros. Carlos Carrasco, obviously, you can't ignore. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. Keep in mind, Roderick Munoz, not Braxton Garrett, is going today. He's in that questionable start tier. It's the same thing actually I had yesterday, and then I crossed it out because they switched around their starters, and here we are now. 6-0 was yesterday. Munoz is today. I think he actually could be worthwhile against Rocky Road. You have Andrew Heaney still as a stream pick of the day because he is going Blake Snell blueprint. I know the Nationals have been kind of interesting, but I think it's still going to be Andrew Heaney for me. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have a very small slate of games. We've got Nathan Eovaldi as the auto start, Edward Cabrera as the probable start. I think I saw chat saying he should be in the auto start tier and also in the questionable start tier. So here we go. Probable start tier for me. Edward Cabrera has been pitching well overall. However, the last couple have been a little bit worse when it comes to his overall command. And I love this matchup against Rocky Road. I think he just needs to throw enough strikes and he's going to kill it. Especially now Nolan Jones is on the IL. Are you kidding? Questionable start tier, you have my stream pick of the day, that is Spencer Arrighetti, otherwise known as the Pasta Pirate. He goes against the Guardians. I think Arrighetti has actually a solid repertoire. Four-seamers upstairs are really effective for him, and the other secondaries are good enough as like a kitchen sink approach. Kyle Brash returns from the IL, and this is a still ill situation. Has not looked great in the minors, but it's still Kyle Bradish. And of course, on the other side is Carlos Rodon, lefty against Orioles. No, thank you. So this is a questionable start. I don't really like anything outside of Spencer Arrighetti today. There's only three guys I like. That is Eovaldi, Cabrera, and Arrighetti as the top of questionable. You have Kyle Harrison against the Red Sox and Fenway. No, thanks. Mitchell Parker at Texas. No, thank you. Ben Brown at the Mets. No, thanks. Two-pitch mix, not really going too deep into games, and the two-pitch mix of fastball and curveball is not that great. At least Mitchell Parker and Kyle Harrison have showcased something a little bit more than Ben Brown has. Do not start here. Logan Allen against Houston, I just don't think he's that good, and Houston can do things. Adrian Hauser against the Cubs has not been good this year, and Hauser, sure, he can have any given day of throwing enough fastballs, but hasn't really done over six innings yet, so I'm not in. Josh Minkowski and Peter Lambert both get great matchups, but it's Josh Minkowski and Peter Lambert. I don't want to go for either one. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting, leaving your ratings and reviews on iTunes. It goes so, so far for us, truly. I cannot thank you guys so much for that. And of course, I forgot, I'm taking a question from the playback.tv chat. So, Lost Yankees asks, who's more trustworthy rest of season? Hauk, Pepio, or Green? Well, I have them ranked on the list as Pepio, Hauk, and Green. And if you're wondering, the list is a ranking of guys I'm drafting today in 12-teamers, if I were to draft today. It is not a rest of season ranking. That would be a best ball ranking. You can use projections for that. For me, I favor Pepio because I do think this four-seamer is legitimate upstairs now, and he's doing such a good job placing that. And it's about his slider and his changeup appearing on given days. I think it's there. The Rays offense will get better. Hauk is second there because I think Hauk's slider is just so consistent, so good. And it's about sinkers doing well against righties and splitters doing well against lefties. But I think Hauk is just generally going to be able to go six and have a higher floor than Hunter Green, who is just volatile. It's fastball slider. Sometimes he misses a lot with them and the overall command just isn't quite there. Yes, you will get the most strikeouts likely from Green. And if Hunter Green is able to go four seamers upstairs like he has the last two starts actually all the time, then maybe you do see that breakout from Green. But it is also Sin City that is in Cincinnati. You don't want to pitch in there. So no thank you for that. He's a hipster, heading-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bat be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.